Bottom of this hour, Mendota Heights Police Chief Kelly McCarthy, from the Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, on some important moves they made yesterday on what they can do, what they can't do, and the implications on police departments all across the state. It's pretty rare for us to go back-to-back sports on extended segments, but both of these are huge talkers in town today. First, Nelson Cruz and what the Twins did last night, and the other free agency issues related to the trade deadline. I thought Derek Falvey was very good joining us last hour. I have zero doubts that Matthew Collar will be outstanding. Mr. Purple Insider, a must follow for Viking fans and observers. Matthew, always a pleasure, sir. Your good friend Courtney Cronin with a great scoop here that Rick Dennison is done as Vikings assistant coach in charge of the offensive line and run game coordinator. He said he wasn't going to take the vaccine. And as Courtney points out in her ESPN story well over an hour ago, the vaccine is required for all Tier 1 staff. This includes coaches, front office executives, equipment managers, and scouts. Players are not required to receive the vaccine, but they're going to face different standards. We've talked about this before. Memo that was put up in the league weeks ago, the NFL said any unvaccinated Tier 1 staff member must provide a valid religious or medical reason for not receiving the vaccine. I think it's pretty clear to read this then, Matthew, that Rick Dennison said no, didn't have a valid reason, and the Vikings had no choice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's kind of like you take it or you go, because the NFL really made it impossible for coaches to do their job if they're not vaccinated. I mean, the Vikings could have tried to work around what the policies would be if he was not Tier 1 status. But then when you start reading how that would work, I mean, it's just not possible. I mean, you basically can't really have any contact with the player. And I think that this was sort of the way of the NFL making a mandate without making a mandate.
Yes.
Was making it so strict for anybody who was not vaccinated that it would basically be impossible to do their job. So you can call it whatever you want. I mean, I sent out a tweet saying firing, and then, you know, people came back with, well, he resigned, or like whatever. You can call it whatever you want, but you had a choice between getting vaccinated or not working here, and Rick Dennison clearly chose not working here. And I'm not surprised at all that the Vikings wouldn't be willing to try to work around it, because even the biggest workaround still wouldn't make sense for how you could coach offensive linemen.
No, it's not possible. And it has been established that businesses are within their legal right to require vaccines. We've seen it in numerous businesses. It will continue to be challenged in the courts, but so far it has been upheld every time. And you're right. This is the NFL knowing this circuitous path that they have to follow. They want to be even harder on the players, but they can't be, because there's this thing called the Players Association, and they want to make sure as much as they can that these games are going to be played. So Dennison's today, I'm not convinced, Matthew, we're not going to see four or five other coaches, not necessarily in the Vikings. I'd be pretty shocked if there were other Vikings, but around the league, because we know there's a split in the vaccine. I don't agree with it. Let me be clear. I think you should be vaccinated, but we know there's still tens of millions of people who will not get the vaccine for whatever reason. So it's hard for me to believe, Matthew, that Rick Dennison is going to be the last coach we're going to hear about who's leaving their team right before camp starts.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And what you're going to see also is a lot of very split opinions on those things. Alexander Mattison, yeah, Vikings running back, tweeted out that it didn't make sense for them to lose Dennison after they had, you know, dealt with these things all of last year. But this is, the NFL made it so it's not as simple as throw on a mask and you get to coach. I mean, It's much different than that. It's much more difficult than that. And from that perspective, yeah, I think there will be a lot of coaches who just say, or maybe not a lot, but at least a handful of coaches who follow this path and say, I'm not doing it, and I'll wait till this is over to come back to coaching. At the same time, Rick Dennison has been around a long time, and he's been coaching for a long time, and he could probably call it a day and call it a career with where he's at. So maybe he just decided, like, this isn't worth it for me. But I think most coaches are usually climbing the ladder, and I think that actually many more are like Mike Zimmer, where I don't know if Mike Zimmer wanted the vaccine or not, but he was sure as hell going to take it when he found out the rule. Because, I mean, that's Mike Zimmer, right? Like, he doesn't care about anything except for winning. And I've been quite convinced when people try to figure out Mike Zimmer's politics or whatever, that his only politics are football. So they tell him it's the rules, and he goes and follows the rules. And that's kind of the way that it's been. But the debates within the locker room are about to get very, very interesting, because they're even playing out on social media, where you have players fighting with each other over whether they should be taking the vaccination or not. And I think this is going to remain a huge story, especially if a team has an outbreak and they have to forfeit a game. I mean, you are going to have just rage from the vaccinated players at the ones who are unvaccinated. So this is going to be a battle that continues to play out probably throughout the whole season.
Well, let's stay with Alexander Mattison. He joined this show last year, every other Tuesday. He's an excellent interview, and I don't have to agree with everything Alexander says. In this case, when he's talking about we did this last year, respectfully, I'd say, look where we're at with vaccines now compared to where we were with vaccines last year. I mean, it's a different world. And let's also talk about that football mentality forever. It's my way or the highway. You know, that's how players have understood it. Coaches have understood it. Owners sometimes have understood it with Roger Goodell. And it's not like they're the only business, Matthew, that's requiring said employees to do this. There are businesses every single day where they are doing this, and they're going to continue to do it. And if the variant becomes even more prominent, there's going to be more businesses doing the exact same.
Yeah, I see a lot of people saying, like, oh, well, there will be lawsuits and things like this, and maybe people will try, but you absolutely can do it. And by the way, the NFL did not require vaccinations. They only required it to have Tier 1 status, which I think the NFL probably has some pretty smart lawyers who came up with that one. But, you know, you mentioned Alexander Mattison, though. I'm not sure that maybe he understands exactly how difficult it would be for Rick Dennison to do his job if he's not vaccinated. And then this is the thing from the Vikings perspective too. Like, imagine you're Mike Zimmer and you coach and grind tape until your eyes bleed every week, and you just give your entire soul to this career. And then your stinking offensive line coach who won't get the vaccination costs you a game and you forfeit and you miss the playoffs or something. Like, can you imagine that from Mike Zimmer's perspective? He would lose his mind. And so I don't know that Mike Zimmer sort of forced Dennison to walk away, or if they just sort of gave him a choice. But I mean, you can understand it from that perspective too, that you want all your coaches to not ever be the cause of an outbreak or of something else like that happening. With the players, there's only so much control that the teams have. They can suggest, they can ask, they can bring in doctors, as the Vikings have done, but they can't force, because there's a players association. With coaches, I mean, it's pretty easy to just bump up Phil Rauscher, who has been here as an assistant coach and has been in the system, and take over Rick Dennison's job.
So let's talk about that. Remind folks, our friend Matthew Collar's with us again. It's something I read all the time. They have podcasts, they have good stories, they have mailbags, Purple Insider. You absolutely should check it out. So let's talk about Dennison. Dennison, almost 30 years in the league, very close with Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak and Zimmer were close. Gary says, I'm out of here. They promote Clint Kubiak, young guy for that position. He's never been an offensive coordinator. I'm sure he was planning on relying on Dennison a fair amount, so people could make the argument, wow, that hurts. Then I can hear other people saying, now, wait a second. I've looked at this offensive line the last couple of years. It's not that great. I'm not sure I'm going to miss Rick Dennison that much. So putting aside why he's leaving, but his value and the timing of this. What impact does this have on this unit, which is going to be fairly different? And as we all know, if they get to the level where they're good, this offense could be great. If they're still hit and miss, Cousins is going to have his perpetual issues, and I'm not sure this team is going to be that different than they were last year.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing, too, because Phil Rauscher, who's never been an offensive line coach, he has only been an assistant, he is now tasked with bringing on Kristen Darsaw and Wyatt Davis as rookies and preparing them to play. I mean, think about the first week they face Cincinnati, who cares? The second week they've got J.J. Watt, and 2 weeks later after that they've got Myles Garrett. And you go through this season, they've got Aaron Donald on the list, they've got T.J. Watt on the list. I mean, this is going to be a really, really difficult schedule of defensive linemen that the Vikings have to face. So Phil Rauscher and Clint Kubiak really have an uphill battle here. But I don't think the concern is so much on the offensive line and the coaching, the techniques, as it is on the run game. Because the Vikings run game, we know that Mike Zimmer cares about it, that he's going to stick with it and establish the run, and he's going to ride Dalvin Cook. But where you could say Rick Dennison has been fantastic the last couple of years is in that run game, that they have become one of the best running teams in the league. And yes, certainly Dalvin Cook is a huge part of that. But in 2018, when they were running a different offense and a different scheme, they were one of the least effective running teams in the NFL. That's been a big change over the last 2 years. And now you're asking a first-time offensive coordinator to operate something that maybe he's not entirely comfortable with because Clint Kubiak had been a quarterback coach. So I think that there's that element of it. There's the inexperience of the offensive line element of it. And there's just the general huge like earthquake to your offensive line room right off the very beginning. And I, in my experience, things like this absolutely shake a team. They absolutely shake people inside those rooms. And how they deal with this is going to be a huge storyline as we go forward.
I don't ever want to compare someone stepping away in the way that Dennison is to someone who loses their life. Okay, so let's be clear about that. Tony Sperano, when he passed away early, a few years back, it was way more impactful for his family and friends. Okay, so let's emphasize that, but also then talk about the football. Zimmer relied on him. Zimmer loves these older veteran guys that he views as good sounding boards, as individuals willing to step up and challenge him a little bit, whereas maybe the younger coaches, maybe Clint Kubiak, is not going to be willing to take Mike Zimmer on. We saw how that played out that particular year. That, you talking about the impact of this, losing Gary Kubiak, losing Rick Dennison, those are the guys that Zimmer wants on his staff.
Right. And that's the thing is, there is a difference here between losing Dennison and Tony Sperano because of the emotional element of that a lot of the guys had become very, very close with Tony Sperano. And that might be the case, too, with Rick Dennison. Obviously, he's not dying, so it's like not that level. But I think it is an emotional thing, too, with these offensive linemen who become very close with their position coaches. I think that's sort of an underrated aspect of football. How much Rick Dennison was an advisor to Mike Zimmer, I don't know, but I know that Dennison had a great amount of experience, and that matters. The only thing for me is just that the big difference is that time in 2018, Clancy Barone was forced to go from being the tight end coach to the offensive line coach and sort of the drop of the hat. So he had not been doing that at any point during mini camp or OTAs. In this case, Phil Rauscher has been running Dennison's offensive line system, teaching his techniques now for 2 seasons and for this entire lead up to this season. So I think it'll be much more of just a different voice when it comes to teaching the offensive linemen than it is like a complete overhaul of a guy trying to learn as he's teaching. But I really think that run game part of it is something to watch for just because Dennison, I mean, think about his career and the running game that the Denver Broncos had with Rick Dennison in charge and all those things, that his scheme has continued to work, whether it's here or Houston or all the places that he's been. And so that to me is where it's going to be the biggest.
Great stuff as always, sir. Thanks so much.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Let's move it away from football and ask you and we get a lot of people who send us texts here who believe in the vaccine, who don't believe in the vaccine. Let's be clear. On this show, all three of us, 1,000% believe in the vaccine. Shaletta doesn't have the vaccine yet. I tell her all the time she's making a mistake. It's dangerous. I love her. I wish she was vaccinated. I wish everybody was vaccinated. If you're one who has not been vaccinated yet, you willing to lose out on your job? You that principled? You that convinced that the overwhelming science is wrong? This is no big deal, even though life expectancy has dropped more than it has in years and years and years? Rick Dennison has been doing this for a long time, almost 30 years. He's in a different financial bracket than most people. Are you willing to do this to lose your job? Because businesses, so far through the courts, are allowed to do this. It was a story Dan had even today, where six people who are supervisors are out of a job in a medical profession because they wouldn't do the vaccine. You willing to go that far over something that right now, by the way, 99.5% of the folks, if they get vaccinated, they're not in this category. Because of the folks who are dying, the percentage of those folks who are unvaccinated is 99.5%. That's it. That's really where you want to go to take that risk. And I get it. Millions, no symptoms. Millions, no problem. Every one of us has a story of somebody who doesn't fit that category. Somebody who died. I told you my friend recently, 39, lost almost 50 pounds in the hospital as long as he was. You willing to pass on that and lose your job over this? Let me know. Calls and texts. 651-989-9226. CDC director recently telling us 99.5% of the people killed by COVID the last 6 months were unvaccinated among our first texts. That's a lie. Why in the hell would the CDC lie about this? Why do people believe this utter nonsense and dismiss COVID? Yeah, the CDC, it's a great conspiracy for the CDC to make money. Stop. Just stop. Adam, do you think people are willing to be so principled, so stubborn, so convinced they're right about the uncertainty with the vaccine or downplaying the power of COVID that they're going to go the Rick Dennison route? Go ahead, fire me, or I'll leave because I'm not going to get vaccinated.
Oh, absolutely. That's clearly evidence of it right there. I don't know how many. I mean, I don't know what the percentages will be, but
I still think it's going to be a small percentage when it comes down to, okay, now what's happening, Adam? Now, Billy Bob McGee is saying, I'm not going back to our engineering firm. And they say, Billy Bob, we love you. Either get it done, or by the way, here goes your salary. And by the way, that's how you have your insurance. That's how you pay for your house. That's how your kids go to this school. I still think when it actually comes down to it, not as many are going to live up to it when it's final decision time.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly people are going to cave, too, when it comes down to that. But I've said this before, though. I mean, there's plenty of jobs available right now. So if somebody is willing to say, you know what, I'm going to stand on my principle here, I'm going to go try to find something else. I mean, there are a lot of people who absolutely 100% believe that the other stories, that believe that this somehow is not safe, and that's what they believe, and that they'll make a drastic move to stand up to those principles.
Another texter saying this is unconstitutional. No, it's not. Restrictions are set up all of the time. Businesses are allowed to have requirements, and it keeps going to court after court after court, including Trump courts, and it's upheld. So stop the nonsense. Dan, what do you think? How many of these folks who we massively disagree with on the power of vaccines, they don't see it. They're willing to just stick their head in the sand and some data. They just are. That's just a fact that you're looking away at demonstrably proven data and saying they don't work, and then going to live up to that so much that they're going to walk away from their job.
Well, I tend to agree with Adam in this case that given the nature of the job market, it's a lot easier to do that than it would be necessarily at another time. And given just the absolute obstinance of a lot of these folks, like you said, staring straight in the face of facts and science and saying, nope, I don't believe it. I think a fair number are gonna test the waters, especially given the fact that we have a lot of businesses, ours included, that aren't going to mandate vaccines, but rather are going to say, we're going to give you as much information as possible, and then we're going to set up two sets of protocols. And if you're vaccinated, you can do this, mm-hmm. and if you're not vaccinated, you can't do this. I think there's a lot of folks that are going to test that.
And picking up on some of the comments Matthew made, Adam, I think you are going to see some issues in locker rooms, you know, where the players have the union. The union won't go for this. They're not going to put the players in the tier one. They want the freedom. I think you're going to have more people like, I don't think Alexander Madison is going to be a small, vocal person who's saying, why can't we do it this way? Now, depending upon how public they want to go with those opinions and what level of dissent that might cause in locker rooms, I don't know yet. But he's not going to be the only one, Adam. You're with me, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, no, not a chance. And the you know, when it starts to, when you're talking about forfeiting games and financial implications, skipping a check, you can better believe that behind closed doors, there's going to be some heated arguments amongst teammates and coaches as to getting this vaccine.
100%. If you can finish up the show with us, Mr. Carter, love to have you do that. Excellent guest coming up, drawn to the Tribune store today about the Peace Officers Standards and Training Board and what they can offer up, what they can't offer up, and what is their response to everything that's taken place from George Floyd to Dante Wright. Chairwoman, Mendota Heights Police Chief Kelly McCarthy is moments away on CCO.